Megillas Taimis is your work that was written down. Rashi writes in the first paragraph in Shabbos, that's why it's known as Megillas, because it was written down at the time that the Mishnayos was still being recited Balfeh. At the time that the Torah Balfeh was still not yet written, so this was written. The reason why it was written is because it just lists off the holidays. It has very little here and there. It has a halacha, but basically it just goes Nisani or Sivan, goes in the order of the month, and it lists off all the holidays that were instituted in that particular month. The Tanaim had a dispute after the destruction of the second Beis Hamikdash, whether these Yamim Tovim should still be continued to be observed or not, and the conclusion was that all of these holidays were batal except for Hanukkah and Purim. They were all batal, the Gemara explains, not so much because the historical background of the holidays had been forgotten, they still remembered what it was all about, but rather for halachic reasons, not for historical reasons. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, in the first paragraph of Yates, because all of the Yamim Tovim that were instituted this Man Bai Sheni had to do with the building of the Beis HaMikdash, the improvement of the structure of the Beis HaMikdash, the improvement of the Hakrovas HaKarbonas, the improvement of the Kuhuna Gedoyla, the improvement of the Sanhedrin, which were functions of the Beis HaMikdash. Sanhedrin has to meet in the Beis HaMikdash, Kuhuna Gedoyla has to do with the Beis HaMikdash. And this Mansha Beis HaMikdash, so you celebrate over the fact that you have a Beis HaMikdash with all of these improvements included. After the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara says, then you observe Avelus. You don't observe, you don't celebrate the fact that we used to have a Beis HaMikdash. It's not there anymore. So that's what the Gemara says, that all of the Yamim Tovim of the Megillas Taimis were batlo, with the two exceptions of Hanukkah and Purim. So the Hasidish Sfarim explain why. The Gemara doesn't fully explain. The Gemara gives an explanation, but it's not fully understood. And the Hasidish Sfarim explain that the reason why these two are exceptions to the rule, Hanukkah and Purim, because during the period of the second Beis HaMikdash, to the Churban Bayis Sheni, they were celebrated because of the fact that Hanukkah, on the occasion of Hanukkah, they improved the Hakrovas HaKorbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, and Purim led up to the building in the second Beis HaMikdash. After the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, we still continue to observe only these two, because we assume that Hanukkah and Purim were intended to lead up to the third Beis HaMikdash. We're really celebrating now differently. We're celebrating now the Yamim Tovim of Hanukkah and Purim in anticipation of the building of the third Beis HaMikdash. And that's what they point out in the Hasidish Sfarim. There's a pasuk in Tehillim that reads, Arachti ner l'mashichi, that I kindled the lights on Hanukkah as a preparation for the coming of Mashiach. What that's all about is a good question, and there's a good answer. There's a good explanation based on Pesukim, Chagai, and Gemara, and Midrashim. There's a good explanation. But anyway, we still continue to observe Hanukkah and Purim today, despite the fact that all the other Yamim Tovim and Megillas Taimis were batal, because we assume that these two Yamim Tovim are going to lead up to the building of the third Beis HaMikdash. So it's not that they're gone and forgotten, it's we're celebrating in anticipation of the third Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara says that Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash Hayikayom, these two Yamim Tovim, Hanukkah and Purim, used to be celebrated, and the Lefnei Malachareim also used to be celebrated. Erev Hanukkah, and the day after Hanukkah is not Yisru Chag, there's no Korban Chagiga. Hanukkah, Yisru Chag means the day on which you bring the Korban Chagiga that you didn't bring yesterday on Shavuos. If you didn't bring the Chagiga on Shavuos, you can bring it the next day. So the Gemara quotes from the Megillas Taimis that they used to celebrate on Hanukkah and the day before and the day after, on Purim and the day before and the day after. Tesis and Menachis writes that they're not sure whether Bizman Azed and Hanukkah and Purim were loy batlu. Does that only mean Hanukkah and Purim proper? What about Lifnei Malachrim? What about the day before Hanukkah, the day after Hanukkah, the day before Purim, the day after Purim? So in Shulchan Aruch, we know what our practice is. The question is, are you permitted to fast the day before Hanukkah, the day after Hanukkah? So we know what our practice is in Shulchan Aruch. It says that we don't say Tachnun Erev Hanukkah, Erev Purim in the afternoon, but in the morning we do say Tachnun. Or if Chalila there's a funeral, so if the funeral is after Chatzos of Erev Hanukkah, Erev Purim, you don't say a Hespit. But if it's in the morning before Chatzos, you do say a Hespit. If we would have assumed that the Lifnei Malachrim, the day before Hanukkah, is treated as a yontif, still Bizman Azeh, so it would be prohibited to deliver a Hesped even in the morning of Erev Hanukkah, and you wouldn't say Tachman even in the morning. Maybe by some Hasidim Shushtidlof, they probably don't say Tachman in the morning, but in the Shulchan Aruch it just says you don't say Tachman in the afternoon of Erev Hanukkah. So obviously we assume that Lifnei Malachareim is bottled. The only thing that was retained is the yontif itself of Chanukah and Purim and the Lefnei Melachareim have been removed. What exactly is the nature of the celebration on Chanukah? How do you celebrate? So we know that the Chachamim instituted the mitzvah of Hadlokas HaMenorah. Is there anything else in addition? So the Rambam writes that the Chachamim instituted Chanukah as a yontif with a chi of simcha. Where do we see any simcha expressed? And the Shulchan Aruch it says that the sudas, the chagigas that people make and they eat and they drink and they make merry, are only sudas of reshus. They're not a sudas chayim. On Purim the Chachamim instituted it as a yontif of the memishta of the simcha. And on Chanukah it was never instituted as such as the memishta of the simcha. So all the sudas you have are only sudas of reshus. There are more quotes from the Maharam Gutenberg, unless you sing Shiris, which is Brachas Tachadish Baruch Hu, and then you convert the Suda into a Suda Saidoya. If you offer thanksgiving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu over a meal, so let's say a person was sick and he gets better, a person was in prison and then he's released from prison, or the people are brought Tzrichim Lahadis, the four people have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, offer the thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so a lot of times they make a Suda Saidoya. And they express their gratitude towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the middle of the Suda. So that converts the whole Suda into the Suda's Mitzvah, as we find in the Chumash, the institution of Korban Toidah. Korban Toidah is a Suda Toidah, and it seeks there. If you express your gratitude towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the middle of the meal, when everybody is in a good, happy mood, that's how the Gemara has an expression in the end of Tainus, Ein Omrim Halo El Al Keres Maleh Al Nefesh Siveya. When people are satiated, everybody ate, and they drank, and they're in a good mood, so then it's a good time to really express your thanksgiving towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So on Chanukah, when Chachamim didn't institute any mitzvah of Suda, so there are more quotes from the Maharam Rittenberg that the Suda Shemar bin Chanukah, all the chagigas that one makes, and you eat and you drink, and you eat latkes and whatever, it's all Suda of Shus, unless you sing Shus, which is Brachas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I mean you sing praises to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Nisim and Nefloas, so then you convert the Suda into a Suda Saidoy. It gives another Mashal, the Maharam Gutenberg. He quotes the Gemara in Pesachim and Daf Mem Tes, Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says that if a, it's an interesting Gemara, you have to know Pshat in the Gemara. The Gemara says when a Talmid Chacham gets married, it's a Suda Mitzvah. When a non-Talmid Chacham gets married, it's not a Suda Mitzvah. Only a Mitzvah Talmid Chacham, if you get married, what's Pshat in the Gemara? You have to know Pshat. The Gemara says when Amoris gets married, it's not a Sudas Mitzvah. So what can you possibly do to convert it into a Sudas Mitzvah? So the Maharam Gutenberg says, sing Shiris is Shvachas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it will be converted into a Sudas Haidoya. Sudas Haidoya is always a Sudas Mitzvah. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes, there are more quotes from the Maharam Gutenberg, that there's no Chiyuv Simcha in the sense that you're not obligated to have Sudas. If you throw a party and you sing Shiris and Sishbachas, you convert it into a Suda Saidoy. But you're not Mechuyiv to. So what does the Rambam mean? In what sense does the Rambam imply that there's a Chiyuv Simcha on Chanukah? The Rambam writes in Hilchos Chanukah, the Chachamim established this as a Yontif to fulfill a mitzvah of Simcha. So the Pashto says the Rambam means that it's a Chiyuv Simcha like on Rosh Chodesh. The Rambam writes, based on the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, that on Rosh Chodesh there's an Issa Tainis Min HaTorah. It's prohibited to fast Min HaTorah. Why is there an Issa Tainis Min HaTorah? Because on Rosh Chodesh there's a Chiyuv Simcha. But it's not a Chiyuv Simcha B'kum L'Yaseh. You don't have to fulfill Simcha by doing anything, by going out of your way to do anything. It's a Chiyuv Simcha B'Shevi Al Taseh. You're not permitted to have Tainis. You're not permitted to deliver a Hesed. So in that sense, called the Tikkun Rabbanan came the Raisa Tikkun, the Chachamim instituted Chanukah also as a Yontif. With the Chiyuv Simcha, the whole Simcha expresses itself B'Shevi Al Taseh. Not really B'Kum V'Yaseh. The Simcha B'Shevi Al Taseh means that there's an Issa Hesped and there's an Issa Tainis with the Rabbanan. Like on Rosh Chodesh, there's an Issa Hesped, the Tainis it seems Min HaTorah. So on Chanukah, it's an Issa Hesped, the Tainis with the Rabbanan. When there is, people die every day. There are always funerals, every except for Shabbos and Yom Kippur. You're not allowed to have any funeral. But people are dying every day, so what do you do when you have Taka funeral on Chanukah? Nobody delivers a Hesed. So there was a great Goyim in Europe who was a very original thinker, and his original positions were not really accepted by all the other Rabbanim. Rabitza Le'Ponevizhe was a super genius. Not to be confused, but Rabitza Le'Peterburg. Bitzel HaPeterburg used to make fun of Bitzel HaPonavish. Bitzel HaPeterburg, Rabbi Yitzchak Blasi, he was a big Baal Musa, so he didn't like Bitzel HaPonavish because he was very wild. He had Rabbi Chaim considered Bitzel HaPonavish as the biggest Baal Mechadish of the generation. He was quite a big Baal Mechadish. So he used to say chidushim halacha lemaisa also that the other rabbanim didn't go for. So one of his many chidushim that was not accepted at all was this, that when chalila there's a funeral on Chanukah, so the rabbi is not permitted to deliver hesped because there's a mitzvah of simcha that has to be fulfilled b'shevi atasi. You're not allowed to do something that contradicts simcha, hesped, kindness. But Rabbi Tzola said that the relatives of the nifta who are observing aninus before the kvura are forbidden to fulfill any mitzvahs. So since they're not allowed to fulfill any mitzvahs, so by them there is no mitzvah of simcha. So the oinonim are permitted to deliver a hesped. Those friends or relatives who are not oinonim, who are not observing aninus, they have to observe simchas Chanukah. So as an expression of simchas Chanukah, b'shevi atasi, they're not permitted to deliver a hesped. But whoever is an oinon is permitted to deliver a hesped. His opinion over here is not accepted because we assume that the prohibition against hesped is both on the one who delivers the hesped and on the people who listen to the hesped. So the guy's not going to talk to himself. The oinon is not going to deliver the hesped looking in a mirror. He's going to say to the audience who's there by the funeral, so the other people are not oinon. The other people are obligated to observe the mitzvah of simcha and not the simcha b'shevi al pas al chanukah like a mashchedish, and they're not allowed to listen to a hesped. That's why this chiddush has never really been accepted. Of course, in addition to the mitzvah of simcha, the Chachamim instituted the big mitzvah of hadlokas ha-menorah, and the Shulchan Aruch writes that hadlokas ha-menorah has to take place b'beiso, and the fact that we light candles in shul is only a minhag; it's not really a din meikar adin. And that's why there is a big discussion in the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch. There is a machlokes in the Shulchan Aruch between the Chabad and the Ramah, different practices, difference of practice between the Ashkenazim and the Sfaradim. Does one recite the bracha when one is about to fulfill some practice which is only a minhag? When one is about to fulfill a mitzvah min haTorah or a mitzvah min haRabbanon, one does recite a bracha. And the Gemara points it out that even though hadlokas haNeiros on Chanukah Mikra Megillah is only min haRabbanon, you still say Abrocha Shekadishana the Mitzvah of the Tzivana, even though it's not really the Tzivana, because Abrocha didn't command us to read the Megillah. It didn't command us to light the menorah, but still it's indirectly the Tzivana. He commanded us to listen to the Chachamim, and the Chachamim told us that we should light the menorah and read the Megillah. So we can say the Brichas HaMitzvah, Kedishana the Mitzvah of the Tzivana, even on a Mitzvah the Rabbanah. But the question is, do you even extend this to Minhagim? Where do we have an example of a Minhag? Reciting of Chatzi Halam or Shchodesh, the Gemara says, is only a minhag. That's not really a din. The Gemara says in Maseches, the end of Maseches Tainus, that Rav was a student of Rabbi Yudah Anasi, and he learned in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yudah Anasi was the last of the Tanoim. And then after he got smicha, he went to Bavel. His family originally came from Bavel. So he went back to Bavel to stay. Rav and Shmuel. Shmuel didn't get smicha. Rav did get smicha. They both went back to Bavel, and each one established a yeshiva. And each yeshiva grew, and they were both marbits Torah Baram. So the Gemara says, when Rav came to Bavel, there were a lot of Amaratzim there, didn't know any dinim, didn't never heard of Basim B'cholim, didn't know about Muktzah, didn't know about Shabbos, they didn't know Kashrus, Taras HaMashmah, they didn't know anything. So the Gemara says that one day he came into Shul Rish Chodesh, and the Balabatim was saying, hello. So he thought, this is also an Amaratzis. There's another thing that they don't know. And then when he noticed that they're skipping, they're only saying Chatzi Halo, then he realized that this is not an Amarat, this must be a minig that they have, but he had never heard of it. All the years that he lived in Eretz Yisrael, he learned by Rabbi Yonos, never heard of this minig that you say Chatzi Halam Shchodesh. First time he came upon such a minig is when he went to Bavel, and the Balabatim were saying Halal and Shul. So reciting of Chatzi Halam Shchodesh, the Gemara says, is only a minhug. So that's why there's a big dispute between the Rambam and the Baal HaTos, is whether one recites a bracha or not. And the Chabad paskens like the Rambam, like he usually does, that no bracha is to be recited over Chatzi Halam and Shchodesh, because you can't say the Tzivano. It's not a mitzvah min haTorah. It's not even a mitzvah min haRabbanan. It's not the Tzivano at all. And the Rambam paskens like the Baal HaTos that observance of Minhagim does warrant a bracha. You can't say a bracha. See, there's a famous problem that the Nesi Kalim, the Mefarshim on the Shulchan Aruch discuss. The Mechaber writes that the minig is, it's only a minig, it's not a din. Minig is that we light Chanukah candles in shul, and whoever lights the candles does recite the three brachas. The first time he says, So the question is, if it's only a minhag, and the Mechaber's opinion is that on a minig one doesn't say a bracha, a few times the Shulchan Aruch has like that, and one is about to perform a minig, no bracha is recited. You can't say the tzivanu on a minig. So how come he says over here that when you do the hadlaka b'beis haKnesses, you do say a bracha. So that's a major problem. So the first one who asks it is the Be'er Agayla on the side of the Shulchan Aruch. Usually Be'er Agayla just gives a Ma'ar Mekaymus. Once every 50 pages he has something, he adds a sentence. So here is one of the, he sneezed over here. He woke up. So he asked, what's going on? How did he say a bracha? Doesn't it contradict the Mechaber's own opinion? Okay. So that's a whole literature. So it says in the Ramah that this Hadlacha B'Beis HaKnesses is only a mimic, and no one is going to anything with this. Everybody who was there in Shul has to go home again and light the base. So the Hadlacha has to be the base. What is the background of the minig? What's the reason for the minig? So different reasons are given by different Rishonim, but they seriously quote different Rishonim. In the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber quotes that the reason for it is Pirsumi Nisim. That the mitzvah of Hadlokas Neros Chanukah at home is for the purpose of Pirsumi Nisim. But how many people do you have who see the menorah at home? Just have your family. Years ago, they used to light up Pesach Beis and Mibachutz. They used to light on the outside. So all the people who would pass by in the street would see the menorah, so you would accomplish more Pirsumi Nisim. Bizman Azeh, for many years already, the minig is Lahadlik Mibifnim. So the only people who see are the family. So how many people do you have already in the family? So that's why the minig developed to be madlik beis haknesses, so you have more pisumi nisa. So that's why some have a practice that they light on Times Square. You have even more pisumi nisa. They light on the highways. You have more pisumi nisa. More people are going to see the hadlok. Not all of the Rishonim agree to that term that the Mechaber gives, that it's the hadlok of the beis haknesses is in order to accomplish greater pisumi nisa. Others say that it's zechel amigdosh, that in the beis amigdosh, you light a menorah every day of the year, not just on Chanukah. There was nothing unique on Chanukah. The miracle of Chanukah happened on Chanukah. But in the Beis HaMikdash, he's supposed to light the menorah every day. So some Rishonim say that the reason why we light the menorah and the Beis HaKnesses is because the Beis HaKnesses is described by the Navi Yirmiyah as a Mikdash Miyat. So it says Echel HaMikdash. So then it's only the Beis HaKnesses. If you're going to light on Times Square, there's no minik. In fact, Rav Soloveitchik thought even if you liked in Beis HaKnesses, he had a tradition from his father, I'm not exactly how far back, that they insisted that the Hadlok has to take place in between Mincha and Ma'ir. You can't light before Mincha, and you can't light after Ma'ir. Let's say a lot of times, Erev Shabbos, they're running late and there's no minyan, and then you're afraid if you're going to daven first Mincha in Shul, and then you're going to be madlik the menorah, it's going to be too close to the Shki, it's going to be after the Shki. And a lot of shuls, they have the chazan light the menorah before he starts saying Ashrei, before Mincha. So the Shari Tshuva quotes a machlokes about that, is that acceptable? So Rav Soloveitchik said that his father held that it was not acceptable, that the minig is bedavke to light in between Mincha and Ma'ariv. And not like we have in the Beis Medrash, that we daven Mincha at 2:30, then we daven Ma'ariv at 6:15, and then somebody lights the menorah in between sometime. No, he said it has to be in between Mincha and Ma'ariv. You have a tziruf of a minyan. Because he felt that his understanding was that it's a hadlaka shel hatzibur. The tzibur has to do a hadlaka. So how do you get a tzibur? To use his language, you have 10 people reading the Morgen Journal, 10 people sitting around reading the New York Times. So that's called the tzibur. No, you have to be mitzarf the tzibur together. So if you have 10 people, they just finished davening mincha, so they were mitzarf for yachad, and they plan to daven ma'ariv soon afterwards. So there was a tziruf together in order to enable them to daven mincha. And he still retained that siruf in order to continue to daven ma'ariv soon after. Not they finish mincha at the 2:45, then the remaining siruf and yachad to daven ma'ariv at 6:15. That's way later. If the mincha and the ma'ariv are going to follow one after the other very soon, so then it's a hadlaka shalat siruf. That was what his family tradition was. That's why he said that on Matzoi Shabbos also, on a lot of shuls, they light the menorah after Kaddish Tishkabel. After Ma'ariv is all over, because you can't light Imit Mincha Ma'ariv on Matzoi Shabbos, you didn't say Atachan Antonu yet. So the meaning of most places is that you light the menorah after Kaddish Tishkabel. So he said where he came from in Europe, they didn't do that. They used to light the menorah after the Chatzi Kaddish, before the Kaddish Tishkabel. Before, when do you say Kaddish Tishkabel? Right after Vihinoyam. Right after the Yinoyim, after Kodesh, he said Kodesh Tiskabel. So he said, where he came from, the meaning was that they said they lit the menorah before the Yinoyim, not after Kodesh Tiskabel. And it says that even according to the popular custom that you practice, that you light the menorah after Kodesh Tiskabel, but it's after Kodesh Tiskabel because the minyan is still Mitzuraf Yachad, they didn't say Havdalah yet. Because the Havdalah that you say in Shul is also Havdalah Satzibur. And some shows we don't say Havdalah. Here there's a minion, the Agudah minion here, they never say Havdalah. You don't say Kiddush on Friday night. because no one's here, so they don't say Avdolah B'Tzoy Shabbos. Everybody goes home and they say their own Avdolah. So Rabbi Soloveitchik thought that if that's the case, that they don't plan to say Avdolah, so if they're going to say if they're going to light the menorah after the Kaddish Tiskabel, and there's nothing left, what's left afterwards? They're going to say Aleinu, the Kaddish after Aleinu. So he thought that that's not a Kaddish El Tzibur. The Tzibur already disappeared. Hopefully then. He thought before Kaddish Tiskabel means that you didn't finish Ma'ariv yet. Or even if you finished the Kaddish Tiskabel, you didn't say the Havdolah Shel Tzibur yet. Anyway, that's what he insisted. It has to be a Hadlokeh Shel Hatzibur in the Beis HaKnesses between Stam. You have a wedding. Stam. You have a wedding, and they're going to daven Minchah. They're going to daven Ma'ariv right after. So that's not. It has to be Zeichel Amigdush. Don't mean the Migdush. Amigdush Miyat. And it has to be Amigdush Miyat. The Hadlokeh Shel Tzibur. So it has to be in the Beis HaKnesses. In between Mincha and Ma'ariv, which are smuchim zalazeh. In between Mincha and Ma'ariv, which are smuchim zalazeh. That's what his opinion was. Other Rishonim say that has nothing to do with Migdash Miyat and Zechal Migdash. They simply say the same time. I think the Rekeach says this, if I'm not mistaken. They seriously quote some of the reasons. The same reason the Gemara gives, why do you say Kiddush in Shul? The Gemara says one is only Yaitse Kiddush. B'makam Su'udah. So what the Gemara says, what do we bother to say Kiddush and Shul? No one is Yotze anything, isn't it a bracha l'atola? The Gemara says, no, there are some poor people who eat in the room that is adjacent to the Shul. So we say Kiddush in the Shul to be Moise the Yorcham Yidei Choy Vosam. So the Rekech, I think, writes that that's the reason why they originally instituted the practice of lighting the menorah in Shul to be Moise the Yorcham. That was Besor. That was where they used to eat and sleep in the room adjacent to the Shul. So even though now we no longer have such a practice, nobody in America, nobody eats and sleeps in the side rooms of the shul. They have some homeless non-Jews. Some homeless non-Jews sleeping in some of the shuls, but they're not tied and have lots on that. In Europe, they used to have a lot of homeless. They used to have bums, Jewish bums. They used to travel from one city to the other, and they would sleep in the Hegdish. Hegdish was a room that was a mess. That's why in Yiddish, the word Hegdish means a sloppy mess. And it was known, the room next to the shul was known as the Hegdish, where these vagabonds used to eat and sleep. And they just travel from one community to the other. So that's the third reason. There are more than three reasons, but these are the three popular reasons that the Rishonim give as to why the minhag developed. It's not a din. Why the minhag developed that you light the menorah in shul. Anyway, it says in Shulchan Aruch that it's only the hadlaka of the Beis HaKnesses is only a minhag. No one is yotze with that, and you have to go back home and be yotze hadlaka of the Beisel. Exactly what is called Beisel, that is another discussion. That's a major discussion in the Shulchan Aruch. And Beisel, let's say the Mishnah Berurah writes, if I'm visiting by a family and I'm eating dinner one night, so I can't be yotze hadlakas haminorah there. Unless I'm going to sleep there also. If I'm eating and sleeping there for the whole night, so then it's basic. But if I'm just eating a chagiga meal there, we just have a family get together, then I'm going back home to sleep in my own home, my regular place. Then my real home is called basic. This place is not called basic. And then you have all other combinations. Let's say you're away for Shabbos Chanukah, and there's a Shabbaton, and you're sleeping in one place, and you're eating in a different place. So both are aroi. Nothing is kavua. I'm eating in one place aroi, and I'm sleeping in the other place aroi. So which one wins? The makom achila or the makom shino? So there's a whole discussion in the Gemara and Erev, and on Dafai and Beis on the base. This is a shaila, possibly on the level of deraisa. Then we get the tchum Shabbos, they get tchum and deraisa, which is called beiso. Beiso is the place where you have an option, the place where you eat or the place where you sleep. So if one is more kavua, one is kavua and one is aroi, so the kavua is the beiso. If one is more comfortable than the other, the Gemara says that the bachrim used to sleep in the dormitory and they used to eat out by balabatim. And the balabatim were not so kind to them. In Europe also, in the yeshivas, when they used to they flag nesim teg, they used to call, they ate different days at different balabatim. So a lot of the balabatim were not nice to the yeshiva guys. They treated them like stepchildren and less. They gave their own children real food, and they gave yeshiva bachrim their bones. They gave them half a portion instead of giving them as much as their own children. So the bachrim didn't enjoy eating by the balabatim. So they enjoyed sleeping in the dorm much better. That they had all their friends, their buddies. So they enjoyed sleeping in the dorm better than they enjoyed eating by the balabatim. Even though they always ate by this balabas. So the Gemara says, whichever is more pleasant, whichever is more comfortable, whichever is more private, whichever is more kavua, so that's the one that's called Beisel. What happens if everything is equal? They're both equally kavua, they're both equally aroi, they're both equally comfortable, they're both equally uncomfortable, the place where you sleep and the place where you eat. So then there are more quotes from the Chilas HaRashba that the Mokum HaAchila is Iker. The apartment where you eat is considered the beisa, and the place where you sleep is not considered the beisa. Here in the cafeteria, it's not so. Moshe Feinstein quotes the Magen Avraham, because the dorm rooms are much more private than the cafeteria. The dorm room, how many people do you have already in the dorm room? 3, 4, 5, how many people do you have sleeping in a dorm room? You don't have so many, so that's much more private. Cafeteria, sometimes you can have over 100 people eating in the cafeteria at the same time, so that's very public. So Magen Avraham says that's another one of the klolim. If one is public and one is private, the one that's more private is called more beisa. So even though usually the makom achila wins out over the makom shina, but over here, if the makom achila is public and the makom shina is private, so the one that's more private wins out, and that's called the beisa. So that's a long discussion in Shulchan Aruch. You got to look through the dinim. How do you determine which is beisa? You cannot, let's say, a person's going to light Hanukkah candles in the middle of a class. I remember when I was a student in the college, we had late in the evening, we used to have just about Shkia time, we used to have a course in Jewish history. So the teacher was Jewish, and he didn't care. So a couple of students used to bench Hanukkah licht in the middle of the class, so the candles would go out by the end of class, and then they'd be able to go eat in the cafeteria, and they wouldn't have to go bother to light in the dorm room or at home. So the Shulchan Aruch seems to say that that's worthless, that if you light in a place that's not beiso, like lighting in Times Square, you're not in fulfillment of the mitzvah. The hadlaka requires dafka that it should be the beiso. The Gemara quotes a braisa from the Megillas Tainis that when the Chachamim instituted the takana of the Yom Tov Purim, they instituted the requirement to recite Halal Shalem every day, each day of Hanukkah for all 8 days. They instituted that mitzvah of hadlaka samanara, and they also instituted the halal of the haidoyah, that you should recite haidoyah means you should, in the middle of modin, in the Shemoneh Esrei, you have to recite V'Ala Nisim. And the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan both quote from the earlier Achronim that the correct version is V'Ala Nisim with a verb, because not a separate paragraph, it's in the middle of a long paragraph. He's saying, Moedim Anachnulach, we thank you very much, Ribbono Shel Olam, for this and for that and for the other thing. I'm Yisech Shebchol Yilman, and if we're Sech, we're Tav Yisech Shebchol Yisai, we're going to be Tzoharoyim. Then you say, V'Ala Nisim V'Ala Purk. And in fact, the Rambam seems to have had the Girsa like that. When you say Ala Nisim over there, before Hatav Ki L'Chol Rachamecha. Hatav Ki L'Chol Rachamecha, that's already the end of the whole paragraph. So if you look in the Rambam, in the Mishnah Torah, it sounds like he had V'Ala Nisim V'Ala Purk on after V'Ala Nisech Shebchol Yilman, then V'Ala Nisim V'Ala Purk on. V'Ala Nisim means it's an Arichas Dvarim. The Gemara is not sure regarding this takanas hatanoim. Takanas, possibly Anshe Knes HaGdolah. This is an early takanah to recite V'Ala Nisim in the davening. What about in Birchas HaMozen? Was that also takanas hatanoim to recite V'Ala Nisim in Birchas HaMozen? And maybe I should say no. Look, you have to daven every day. Shachris, Mincha, Ma'ariv, sometimes Musaf also on Shabbos Chanukah. So there, it makes sense to say there's a takana satanayim that you have to mention Ala Nisim and Nishman Esrei. But there's no need to eat bread on Chanukah. If you just eat the guys on a diet and he just eats fresh vegetables, he eats non-fat cheese or something, so then he doesn't have to say Ala Nisim. If he's not going to say Birchas HaMazon, he's not going to say Ala Nisim. Then maybe even if he does eat bread, since there's no the Chachamim whatever Machai Vesudas Chanukah, so maybe they never required the reciting of Ala Nisim in the Birchas HaMozen. So this is a question that the Gemara raises, and Dama Madlik, and the Gemara has a whole study of Chanukah and Dama Madlik, and one comes to the conclusion that you're not v'chuyiv to, that mentioning Ala Nisim in the Birchas HaMozen is only a minhag. It's a very old minhag from the days of the Gemara. The Gemara was mesupik, the fact that we have this practice to recite Ala Nisim, V'Ala Nisim in the benching, is that a din, is that part of the takanas hatanoim that they instituted the Yom Tov Halal v'Haidoyah, that's part of Haidoyah? Or no, the Gemara is mistaken, maybe Haidoyah is only V'Ala Nisim in the Shemoneh Esrei and not V'Ala Nisim in Benchim. Gemara's conclusion is that it's only Rishus, it's only a meaning, it's not a Chayva. But you see, it was a very old meaning that was already so rooted in the days of the Gemara, they were wondering how old is it? Is it part of the original Takana? So that's what we assume, that it's only a Minhag. Magen Avraham has a Chiddush based on this assumption that it's only a Minhag. He has the following humorous shaila. On Shabbos Chanukah, let's say a person is benching, and he said V'Ala Nisim in the Birchas HaMozen. V'Ala Nisim, he said in the second bracha, Noy Delecho. And then he got so exhausted concentrating on this V'Ala Nisim, when he went further to say in the next 2 pages later, he says Rachem Yisrael Amal Shlaim Yerecha, he forgot to say Betzei. There's only so much he can concentrate, so he got exhausted saying V'Ala Nisim, then he forgot to say Betzei. So if you forget Betzei on Shabbos, it then requires you have to bench over again. So he's saying already a second time Birchas Hamazon on the same meal. That's unusual. It doesn't happen all the time to say benching a second time for the same meal. He has no choice because he forgot Mitzvah. So does he have to say Al Anisim the second time? Or it's enough already? So the Magen Avraham says enough is enough. He says it's only a minik to say Al Anisim, and there never was such a minik to say Al Anisim a second time on the same meal. Because it's very unusual to say Birchas Hamazon a second time on the same meal. So he quotes a Rambam, he dug up a Rambam in Hilchas Shchito, where the Rambam makes a statement that a minig is not binding on a Dovish Ein Shchiyah. If there's a case, the Rambam has all the Hilchas Treifas. So he describes this kind of a disease in the animal, causes the animal to be a Treifah Minatur. If you eat it, you get Malchus. And this kind of a disease, he says, causes the animal to be labeled as a Treifah Midirabbanon. You don't get Malchus if you eat it, but you get Makas Mardis. And this kind of a disease, he says, is a minig. He describes getting this is a minig and you're not allowed to violate the minig, you're not allowed to eat it. And this kind of a disease, this comes up once every 5-10 years. He says that's very rare, and even if there's a minig not to eat it, the minig is not binding, because the minig is not binding on a Dovah Shein Shchiyah. If it's such an unusual thing, if it's a rare instance, so minig is not binding. So the Magen Avraham quotes that Rambam, and he writes that he thinks the same applies over here with respect to saying Al Anisim in the second Birchas Hamazon. I already said Al Anisim in the first Birchas Hamazon in the Shabbos Chanukah, but I have to bench a second time because I forgot to say. So he thinks that it's not required to say Al Anisim the second time around. That's called a Dovashena Rogil, and a minig is not binding on a Dovashena Shchiyah. The Achrayim disagree with the Magen Avraham's Chiddush. That's an original Chiddush. The Mishnah Berurah quotes all the Achrayim disagree in our practices that even if you're saying Birchas Hamazon the second time, the minig requires, there's no din, the minig requires that you have to say Al Anisim the second time. Perhaps the explanation could possibly be that we don't accept that Rambam. The Rambam happens to have a fundamental dispute with Tosis as to the nature of the binding force of a minig. That the Rambam says that a minig is not binding on a Dovah Shein Shchiyah. So the Rambam seems to have understood, as the Rav Soloveitchik said, the name of his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, that minhagim are binding because there is a din of parish midarkei hatzibur. A person is not allowed to break away from the tzibur. So if you have a community minig, the Rambam holds, if you have a minig hatzibur and a person doesn't observe the minig hatzibur, that constitutes an avera, parish midarkei hatzibur. What if you only have a family minig or a personal private minig? So the Rambam understood the Gemara that it's not binding. It's permissible to observe a minig. It's not a violation of baltasis. That's how the Rambam read the Gemara. There's a tshuva Rambam, he writes explicitly like that. That a minig ayochid is not binding, but it means that there's no violation of baltasis. But that's not the way the Balei HaTosis understood. In Yeridei, in the third chelik Yeridei, in Hilchos Shvuos, in Hilchos Nedarim, there's a whole siman, I think it's in the Reish Yudalet, where the Shulchan Aruch quotes the view of the Balei HaTosis, that minhagim are binding mitam neder. Just like there's such a thing as nidrei mitzvah, that a person takes a neder, he's going to learn daf yomi every day. So the Gemara says that such a neder is binding, even though usually a neder is an isa chefze b'sheidi al tase. So how can we take a neder that is going to learn daf yomi b'kum v'yasei? So that's what the Balei HaTosis say, a nidrei mitzvah achal b'kum v'yasei. And even though he didn't say hareini noder, he didn't use the expression hareini noder, he just had it in mind. So we're machmed that nidrei mitzvah are even chal b'lei. So that's why we're machmed over here, that if a person observes a minig toiv once and he intends to continue performing this minig toiv, or if he observed the minig toiv 3 times in a row and he didn't think one way or the other whether he plans to continue to observe this minig toiv, so we say just the observance of the minig toiv 3 times in a row indicates a style of hanhogia. So that's the equivalent of taking a neder b'leiv to continue to observe the minig toiv, and this is binding mitam neder midirabbanan. That's what the Gemara says. The minig toiv is binding. That's how Tosis read the Gemara. The minig toiv is binding mitam neder midirabbanan. So it's not that it's binding because you'll be a parish midarkei hatzibur. It's not that if you violate the minig, you'll be over an avera parish midarkei hatzibur, which is a separate avera, even if you didn't do anything wrong. You're just not going along with the tzibur. So that's the fundamental machlokes Tosis in the Rambam. So according to the Rambam, that the binding force of Minhagim only exists in Minhagi Atzibur, not in Minhagi HaYachid. And it's only binding because it'll be noticeable, it'll be conspicuous that he's doing an act of Purish Midarki Atzibur. So then the Rambam writes very well that if it's a Minig and a Dovah Shein HaShchiyach, a Dovah Shein HaRogel, so it's not binding. It won't be noticeable that it's Purish Midarki Atzibur. But the Pashtus is that we don't follow that Rambam. We have accepted the Baal HaTosis view, the way the Shulchan Aruch writes in Yeridei, in Simei Reish Yud Dalet. That Minhagim are binding not Bitam Parish Midarkei people, but rather because the Minhag Tov is binding Bitam Neder. It's equivalent of a Nidrei Mitzvah. So then even if it's a Dama Shein HaShchiach, it should also be binding. So that's what we usually assume. That even if you bench the second time on the same meal, on Shabbos he said Ala Nisim the first time, if you got Ritzeh. And then the second time he's got a bench, so we don't accept this Magen Avraham. We assume that he has to, that the proper thing is that he should say the Ala Nisim even the second time around in the second Birchas Hamavim. The Netziv in his commentary on the Shiltis has an original idea. He discusses the following, shall let's say Shabbos Chanukah, and the person has his priorities straight. He's concentrating more on the Ritzeh than he is on the Ala Nisim. First things first. So he's concentrating so much on the Ritzeh, he has to make sure he doesn't forget Ritzeh. He forgot to say Ala Nisim. So what's the din on Shabbos Chanukah? He said Ritzeh and he didn't say Ala Nisim. Does he have to bench over or not? How can we say he has to bench over if the Gemara said that reciting Ala Nisim is only a minute? How can we say you have to bench over? So he wants to be medayik from the Shiltis that the only time reciting Ala Nisim at Birchas HaMazon is only a minig is the rest of the days of Chanukah, the weekdays of Chanukah, when there's no obligation to eat a meal. So you didn't have to wash, you didn't have to bench. You could have had your yogurt, you could have had your fresh vegetables or whatever. But if it's Shabbos Chanukah and he's obligated to eat a meal, even though the obligation to eat the meal is mitam Shabbos, not mitam Chanukah, but sof, he's obligated to eat the meal on Chanukah. So therefore he's obligated to recite Ala Nisim, and if he forgets Ala Nisim on Shabbos Chanukah and the benching, he has to bench over. That's a fantastic Chiddush. That's not the accepted opinion of Shulchan Aruch, and it doesn't say this lahalacha. He says he thinks that this is the view of the Baal HaShiltis. In Shulchan Aruch we assume that even on Shabbos Chanukah, if the person forgot Ala Nisim, he does not have to bench over again. But one should try to concentrate on both the Ala V'yava and Ala Nisim, because the Netziv thinks that the Shiltis holds that it's ma'akiv even B'riyot. The Avnei Nezer has a discussion regarding the nature of the mitzvah of Havlotas HaMenorah. In the Beis HaMikdash they lit in a menorah, they lit in a kli. When we light, when the Chachamim instituted that we should light the Neiros Chanukah, did they require that we should light the candle sitting in a kli? Well, not necessarily. Maybe it's not important. Maybe it's not needed to put in a kli. Let's say sometimes a person doesn't have a menorah. He just puts the wax candle on the windowsill. He melts it down on the bottom so it's not going to fall over, won't cause any fire. Is that acceptable? Or should we assume that the takana was bedavka to do a hadlaka b'kli zecha l'migdosh? And the Beis HaMikdash, they had a light in the menorah. Is there a need for a menorah? Everybody knows Chanukah, you have a menorah, Chanukiah. Is it really so? You really need a menorah? There's no halacha that needed a psalmid box. It's just to make money. They make psalmid boxes. You can hold the psalmid in your hand. So maybe, the Gemara says you can't. You won't be yaitzi if you hold a candle in your hand. The Gemara says, Haraya oimer letzarchuhu diadlaka. The onlooker won't realize that there's any psalmid. He still thinks that the guy's walking with a candle. He won't realize that this is the candle of Chanukah. It has to be sitting still, but is there a dinner has to be sitting in a kli? Or not necessarily so. The Avnei Nezer has a whole shudder where he claims that this is a machlekes of Rishonim. He's medayik from some Rishonim, but they seem to insist that you have to have a kli. This was a humorous thing. Rabbi Soloveitchik, Zichron Lebrach, used to be a little bit absent-minded. And he would, every so often, he would forget, because he was traveling back and forth from Boston to New York and had 1,001 things to keep on his mind, so he would often forget to bring his menorah with him. What's he going to do? Every year he's going to buy another. They used to sell tin menorahs over here for 35 cents, but they have $1.35. So every year he's going to buy another menorah. What's he going to do? Every year he would forget to bring a menorah. So he used to take a big fat candle and put it on the windowsill. So one year, one of the students, he used to always make a private minyan for Myra's in his room, because he had to run. He had to run, say, a shiur, and run, have a meeting, and so on. So once he lit candles on the windowsill, and then he had a minyan. So one of the students told him, Rabbi Shechter said, that the machlok is whether you're yotze. So he said, "Don't tell Rabbi Shechter, he is crazy." So the kid came in and he said, "Rabbi Zalvich," he said, "I should tell you that you are crazy." He said, "What's that all about?" So he said, "Because he lit on the windowsill," and he told him that Rabbi Shechter said that that's a machlok, and he said it's crazy. Okay, so Rabbi Zalvich's opinion was that you don't have to light the menorah. He would offer himself, he would not light in the menorah. He forgot to bring the menorah. But the Avner Nezik thinks that this is a machlokes harishayim. When is the correct zman, when is the preferred zman to light the neiris of Chanukah? So this is a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the view of the Bali HaTosfos. There's a Tosfos in Zvachim and a few places in Shach where they quote the Rabbeinu Tam Snazi Shita about Tosfos Chovim and Ben Hashmash. Rabbeinu Tam as a whole, he juggles around all the Gemaras and he comes up with a whole fantastic Shita of when is Ben Hashmashis and when is Tosfos Chovim the Rabbeinu Tam 72 minutes, whatever, a whole fantastic story. So the Rabbeinu Tam interprets in the Gemara in Shabbos that the correct time the Chatchila for Hadlakas HaMenorah is after Tosfos Chovim. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, after Tosfos Chovim. And the Vilna Gaon thinks that there are many other Rishonim who disagree, and he thinks it's more correct to light before it says it's Chovim. After the Shkia, right after the Shkia you light. Doesn't mean that you yotze right away. No. After the Shkia you can create a Chetz of an air. If you light candles in the daytime when the sun is shining, the Gemara has an expression, Shraga b'tihara mayahani. Shraga means a candle. B'tihara means when at noon, when the sun is shining. Maya honey, what does it help? You can't light candles when the whole place is all lit up. You have to wait till after the Shkia when it's at least a little bit dark. And then when you light a candle, that's called a chetz of an air. But even the Vilna Gaon, the Mishnah Berurah points out, even the Vilna Gaon doesn't say that the yotze, if the candle burns for half an hour, and half an hour is up before it says that to Chovim, then he thinks that you're not yotze. You have to light the candle at Shkia. It has to be a candle that's going to burn a half an hour after it says that to Chovim. Because this man of Kiyama Mitzvah is after Tzeisa Kacham. This man of the Hadlaka is the Machloikis. When you do the Maisa Hadlaka, so the Vilna Gaon thinks that it's preferable to do the Hadlaka right after the Shkia, before Tzeisa Kacham. But the Kiyama Mitzvah, this man Kiyama Mitzvah, is the half an hour, the first half hour after the Tzeisa Kacham. There is an opinion of Rishonim from the simple reading of the Gemara that you can only be out of the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neiris Chanukah within the first half hour of the night. And if the first half hour went by, that you're not yotze the mitzvah at all. So that's why many people medaktik the mitzvahs, and they run right away to make sure that they're not lit within the first half hour, because there is an opinion. We don't accept that opinion. We pass and you can light even after the first half hour. But there is such a view in the Rishonim that the hadlaka has to take place within the first half hour. When the kollel was organized here in the yeshiva many years ago, 40 years ago, almost 40 years ago, I think. So Rav Lichtenstein asked Rav Soloveitchik what should be the policy. Should we encourage all the boys to go light the menorah at the Shkia, at Tzeisa Kachovim, or not? So Rav Soloveitchik showed him the Ne'iri on the Gemara in Bava Mavlikim, where the Ne'iri writes that the practice of the Balei HaTosfos was that when they had a Seder to learn, they waited till the end of the Seder was over, and then they went home and they lit the candles, even though it was way after the first half hour. So he recommended that we should follow the practice of the Balei HaTosfos. It was a recommendation. So that's the minig in the kollel is that elu elu divrei kim chaim, that half of the people leave at shkia, maybe not half the people, maybe one quarter of the people leave at shkia to be madlik, one quarter of the people leave at tzeis hakacham to be madlik, and then most of more than half of the people wait till the end of the seder. After the seder is over, then they go home and then they madlik the menorah, like the practice of the Balei HaTosfos. The Maharami Prague has a whole sefer on has a lot of sfarim. The whole sefer on Inyani Hadlakas Neiris Chanukah, and he is of the opinion that since the Hadlakas Neiris Chanukah is zeichel lemikdash, zeichel lenes in the Beis Hamikdash, it has to be dumi the Beis Hamikdash. Just like in the Beis Hamikdash, they didn't use wax candles; they used oil. So do we have to use oil and wicks? True, in the Beis Hamikdash, they only use shemen zayzoch kosi slamo, and we can use any kind of oil. So he says it doesn't have to be 100% Zeichel HaMikdash all the way, but it has to be Dach Kishem Ezei Zach, but he thinks it has to be liquid oil, and if you use wax, you're not Yetze. The Meiri writes that the practice of the Balei HaTosfos was to be Mahadir, to do a Hidah Mitzvah, a beautiful job, to use wax. They did not use oil. So several of the later Acharonim write that obviously the Maharal Prague was not aware of the fact that the Bali Atesis felt that it was a hidden to use wax. He would have never written such a thing, that they're not Yetzir. You're going to say the Bali Atesis were not Yetzir, Allah is on there. So that's a question, whether it's really a hidden to Dafka use Shemin, to use Dafka oil. The Bali Atesis held that the hidden was to use wax. So the different people have different practices. The Gemara points out that the whole purpose of the Halakha Samanar is in order to accomplish the Pesumei Nisa, to get everybody to advertise the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did this Nes on behalf of the Jewish people. What's the significance of emphasizing this? That do we have any differences Halakha Lamaisa because of the fact that the nature of the Mitzvah is Pesumei Nisa? So Gemara and Shulchan Aruch have at least four differences halacha l'maaseh. First of all, the Gemara says that despite the fact that hadlakas hamenorah should really be, hadlakas neres chanukah should really be considered a mitzvah saseh she'hazman grama, and therefore women should be exempt from this mitzvah, we require women to be madlik neres chanukah because afin hayah b'yosar nes, and the purpose of the hadlakah is pesuminis. The Gemara gives the same explanation regarding women's obligation in mikra megillah and in abakasis. All three. Abakasis, Mikra Megillah, and Hadlakas Neres Chanukah are all for the sake of Pesumei Nisa, and therefore you have to understand what that means. Well, how does one follow? What's the logical connection? That's a different story. But that's what the Gemara says. Because the nature of the mitzvah is Achen Herb Yosanes, nature of the mitzvah is Pesumei Nisa, so that's why women are Mechuyev, and it's an exception to the rule of mitzvah says the Shazman Grah. The Nesivus points out in his Haggadah that there's another halacha ma'aseh difference in this, that these three mitzvahs, where the essence of the mitzvah is pirsumei nisa, we recite an additional bracha shasim nisa la'adisein b'yam ha'mahayim b'azman hazeh. We have other mitzvahs where the mitzvah is zechel anes, but it's not lefarsem anes, then you don't say the bracha, let's say tefillin. It says, man piyatas Hashem b'fichit b'yar chazof v'atiach Hashem in Mitzrayim. So hanochas tefillin is zechel to the nisa ma'vitzias Mitzrayim. But it's not that it's pirsumei nisa. So then you don't say shasa nisim lavasein. But on these three, with the nature of the mitzvah, the essence of the mitzvah is lefarsemes anes, the Rambam writes an expression, laharis or legalos es anes, to demonstrate, to advertise anes. So then you do say shasa nisim. Where do we say shasa nisim? By Abba Kaisis? Shasa nisim we say by Mikra Megillah and by Hadlakas Neres Chanukah. But we said that there were three mitzvahs. He said that Abba Kaisis is also Pesumei Nisa. Where do you say Shasa Nisim by Abba Kaisis? So the Nesivus quotes Rishonim in his Haggadah. The Rishonim say that the bracha, the text of the bracha, Shegi Alot, the Golas Avasenim in Mitzrayim, is the equivalent of Shasa Nisim, and it substitutes for the bracha. So basically, he's saying Shasa Nisim on Pesach night also in conjunction with the mitzvah of Abba Kaisis. A third nafkamina ledina is pointed out by the Rambam that if a person doesn't have enough money, let's say, to lake tefillin, he's not mechuyev. If he doesn't have tefillin, not mechuyev to lake tefillin, not mechuyev to go crazy. But what about the hadlakas neres chanukah? So the Rambam writes mitzvah hadlakas neres chanukah mitzvah chaviva hi ad miod. It's a very very beloved mitzvah. It's a very cherished mitzvah. And if the person doesn't have money, he can't afford to be madlik. He can't afford to light a menorah. He has to be mechazer al apsachm. He has to go from door to door and ask for charity to collect tzedakah in order to enable himself to fulfill the mitzvah. And this is only true by these three mitzvahs, where the nature of the mitzvah is pesumei nisa, by hadlakas neres chanukah and by mikra megillah. Usually mikra megillah, you go to shul, you don't need your own megillah. But if you can't get a megillah, then you have to be mechazer al apsachm. Let's say he needs money to pay coffee in order to get to the shore. He doesn't have enough money, so he's mechuyev to go shnara money, to be embarrassed, to ask for tzedakah in order to go to shore to be able to hear the Mikra Megillah. And the same is true regarding the Abba Kaisis also. You have to take money from tzedakah if need be in order to have Abba Kaisis. And a fourth difference might possibly be the following. We have a minhag, a practice, it's a question whether it's a minigur, then we have a practice that after we complete the Hadlakas Haneris, we say a statement, a declaration, Haneris Halanu Alam Adlikim Alam Nisim Alam Fas Balachuas Ram Hamash Al Sizma Sanibu Yamim Alam Adlan, and so on. So this recital, Haneris Halanu Alam Adlikim, appears in the sources in the Masecha Sofer, which is not from the Tanoim, it's from the days of the Gaonim. Masechus Sofer was from the Gaon. Again, Avram points out it was written by the Gaon. So the question is this Haneris Halov, is this a piyut? Like you say, Mo'ez Tzur is a piyut. So if you don't say Mo'ez Tzur, you might say also. But maybe one should assume perhaps that Haneris Halolu is Li'ikuvah. Why should one assume that possibly Li'ikuvah? So Rabbi Soloveitchik thought, he had the impression from the way it's presented in the Masechah Sofrim that it's Ma'akeh, because since the nature of the mitzvah is Pirsumei Nisa, so you can only be Mefarshim in the Nes if you tell over the story. So on Purim you read a whole Megillah, so you tell over the whole story. On Pesach night you drink abrikosis and you tell the whole Agadah, so you tell the whole story. On Chanukah you're just going to light the candles and say brachas, so you didn't tell the story. So you have to tell a little bit of the story. So the Rebbe Mechaiva has to recite the whole Megillah, Chanukah, to read any of the Sefer Chashmonaim or anything. But maybe they were Mechaivas Mikir Adin to recite Haneris Halalu to mention what story the Hadlok is supposed to be telling. Haneris Halalu Adam Adlikim tells the story of the Nisim and the Flores that we experience. There is a dispute in Shulchan Aruch regarding the three brachas that are recited on the first night of Chanukah over Hadlokas HaMenorah, or the rest of Chanukah, the two brachas that are recited. Should we assume that only the Asher Kedushanu B'Mitzvos V'Tzivanu is the Birchas HaMitzvah that should be recited over L'Asiyasim, and the other two, Sh'asa Nisim and Shehechayonu, is really the same as Birchas HaRoeh? The Gemara has a din that if a person is a bum who sleeps in the park and he doesn't have a home, he's not b'chuyav in Hadlokas HaMenorah. He doesn't have any besos to speak of. So he doesn't have to be madlik, but if he passes by a home, where he, a Jewish home, where he sees a menorah burning, so the first night, HaRoeh Mevarach Shtayim, the one who sees someone else's menorah burning should say, Sh'asa Nisim Shachyanu. And the rest of the nights of Chanukah, you don't say Shachyanu, so you say Sh'asa Nisim. You don't say L'Hadlik Ner Shachanukah, he's not lighting. L'Hadlik is only a Birchas HaMitzvah. So the question is, but if a person is lighting the menorah and he says all three brachas, does he say the first bracha lahadlik as a birchas hamitzvah and the other two as a birchas haroeh? So he should say lahadlik nesha chanukah, light the menorah, and then after he sees the candle burning, then he should say the other two brachas. Then he should say the other bracha shos hamisim, or in the first time shos hamisim shachyanu. That's the way it says in Masechah Sofrim. And the Ramon Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Maharil, who ignores the Masechah Sofrim, says no, that the one who does his own hadlaka says all the brachas over l'asiyasim. We treat all the brachas, if you're lighting yourself, if you're a bum who sleeps in the park and you don't have a mitzvah hadlaka, then the chachamim are misakin a birchas haroeh. Haroeh nacharekim avarach shtayim. But if you are doing a hadlaka, then the chachamim are misakin, you should say all of these brachas, b'taras madlik, not b'taras roeh, and you should recite all the brachas over l'asiyasim. So that's the machlokes between the Ramo, b'shem Maharil, and the Masechah Sofrim. The one who points this out is really the Netziv. His commentary on the Shiltas, he points this out, that the Masechah Sofrim does not correspond. Masechah Sofrim preceded the Maharil by a few centuries. And he points out the Masechah Sofrim does not correspond to what the Ramah quoted in the name of the Maharil. That's one, the major machlokes. Then there's another machlokes. Let's say the father of the household is home, and he wants to light a menorah, and thereby be motzi his wife. So is it necessary that the wife should be there to hear the bracha? So they say no. The din is that the wife is yotzei. The wife is home first. The husband's going to have a late meeting. He's going to come home 1 o'clock in the morning. So the husband wants to be yotzei with the wife's hadlaka. So the wife is just as mechuyav as the husband, the Gemara says. The Gemara says one of the Amoraim says when he was single he had a problem. He had to go from the Beis Medrash to light. He says no, he got married, has no problem. So his wife lights in home and he stays in Beis Medrash and he doesn't have any problems. So it sounds for the Gemara, no problems. His wife does the hadlaka. He doesn't have to participate at all. His wife is might see the husband. So what's with the brachas? Does he have to say the brachas or not? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes, this is a big machlokes HaRishonim. Rashi has two pshatim on the Gemara. The bracha of lahadlik ner shel Chanukah is only recited by the one who does the hadlaka. That's the birchas hamitzvah. What about the other two brachas? Are they recited as haraya? The raya says that. So the other members of the household are being yotzei with the father, with the father's hadlaka. If they don't hear those two brachas from the father, then they have to say them when they see someone else's menorah, because the mechuyav to recite the birchas haroeh. Or should I say no? They only were misakin birchas haroeh of shos and nisim and shachyanu for one who is not doing a hadlaka, but for one is for the bum who sleeps in the park. But for a person who is fulfilling the mitzvah of hadlaka, one of the members of the family is lighting menorah and everybody's being yotzei with it, so then they would have a misakin a birchas haroeh. Then you have to say all the three brachas as a madlik. So I don't have to be there when he says the brachas. I'm yaitzer with his adlochit. And it's his problem that he has to say the brachas. I don't have to be there. So because of this machlokes, whether the other members of the household will have to recite the brachas haroah or not, that's why the practice is that the husband waits till the wife comes, the wife waits till the husband comes, to make sure that that they don't get involved in this machlokes regarding the other two brachas. Okay. I'm going to have to chazwal this, because until Hanukkah is going to be a long time. I want to give a little break now so you'll be able to have supper before the next year. Next year I think it's scheduled for 9 o'clock. Happy Hanukkah.